That's still an authorized distributor of ours.
Yeah.
He's the only one other than ourselves.
Oh, actually.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
To a certain degree.
Yeah.
But we bring in nothing but Arrow and Bingo King especially. Those are the three factors that all got together. They're all together now. So.
Yeah, so it's good. Bingo King paper, the double action. People don't.
Well, let me call this meeting to order and let us, if we could all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and we'll have Nick Pizzuti, if you would, Mr. Pizzuti, lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have, we'll begin with the old business. Dave Essies will be here in a second, wherever he is. He's missing. If we could, has everybody read the minutes from last time? And if, whenever you're finished doing that, if we could have a motion to approve or disapprove those little.
Motion to approve the minutes?
I second.
A motion to approve the minutes has been first and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the minutes are approved. I see we have some new people here today that have any of you been here before? And so if you don't mind, it doesn't mean you're speaking publicly. I just like to know who you are. I'm Bishop Dan Gintzig. I'm the chairman of the Bingo Advisory Board. We have, what's your name again?
Don Kazina. I'm a supplier with Rocky Mountain Bingo, Bingo King of Colorado.
Nick Pizzuti, and I represent the Elks Lodges, the Elks organizations.
Right, and we have David Essies is walking in the door sometime in a second, and he's with Turn Bingo in 84th and Huron, I believe. He's walking in now, it looks like. And so maybe I could start with you, and who are you?
I'm Buddy Nolan. I'm chairman of the Bingo Committee. I'm also on the board of directors.
Thank you. From where? Thank you. Do they all know you, Patrick? Thank you. And so it's the new ones here. Did you come because you got the email we sent out to you? Thank you, Shannon. Okay. So that seems to be we should be able to use that now to be able to get more information to you much faster than we have in the past. And so we'll try and keep you up to date with whatever's going on so that you'll be more involved, if you will. Does that make sense? Okay. How many of you didn't even know we had a Bingo Advisory Board? Right. Lots of you. And so this should help all of that situation. Okay, if we can move on to our first item of business. Rudy called me yesterday and said Andrew Whitfield, who's the manager of the licensing and enforcement, is that correct, director of that, is out today because he's got laryngitis and so he couldn't talk and he's sick. And so Rudy's going to have to do it all. Thank you, Rudy.
Okay.
Austin's sick today?
Yeah.
Austin Gomes from St. Louis Church, St. Louis School. Okay.
Okay. And basically, we have provided the information that's required in your packet. And while we're on the handout table, first thing I on there, I think you have complaints. We did give the complaint log.
appreciate that. The other question we might have had about the complaint log, not the log so much, is we were wondering, and it looks not too bad, you know, if I look at the log, is that for the whole year?
That's for the whole year of last year.
Okay.
We run it by calendar year because the license is run for calendar year.
So it doesn't look like there's a significant amount of significant complaints.
29 complaints, right?
Formal complaints, and most of them looked like they weren't really any violations. They were most of them.
Request the complaint called in to us that they submitted. Not confused.
Right, and those forms are all on the web on the Secretary of State's web page. If you ever need to do that, and most of them look like they were complaints from players about, I had a bingo, or I had this, or I had that, and. And most of them, it looks like, were no violation. It's just, you know how players are? Everybody knows how players are.
And we will accept the complaint. Right.
And since we are talking about that, is there anybody in the general audience who has something they would like to complain about of any type? Great.
This isn't your last opportunity.
We're always available. That's right. This is it.
There's no problem with that. And often, if people are not willing, so that's not a problem to call and speak on one of our guests.
Okay. Sounds good.
That's on a complaint log. I think there probably were two organizations in compliance or issues of fines, but they were for more or less violations of failing to understand how to handle. Not an ongoing situation. He said most of them were resolved with no violation, and most of them were customer service issues.
Thanks, Rudy. Okay.
And the other item we did provide you with in your packet was the financials report that you asked for on a regular bingo as well as for. Don't have, of course, all the figures in for 07, the final quarter, but the first three quarters you do compared to the prior, as well as the rest of the second page.
I did. What it looks like, and you're not the financial guy, I know. So, what it looks like is. We've been looking at these for a while, as you can see, 03 through now, and it's been going down regularly, as you can see. This year appears to be sort of the same as last year, if we figure out what the fourth quarter is based on previous history. It looks pretty much the same, just for everybody's information. I personally am encouraged that it looks the same and or possibly better because it's been going down each year. Okay, and so I think that's a significant thing. One of the things we looked at last time, a few sessions ago, was that the profit was up. Is that true this time? I didn't see that.
It is.
It is from the previous year, and that's still three quarters where the profit over four quarters, right? And the profit three quarters of last year versus the whole year of the previous year. But the profit for bingo is up, which I think is a good thing. Okay, I don't know if that's true with each of your individual groups. We're talking about, 250 or 300 bingo licenses that are active?
Almost 1180.
So 400.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Landlord licenses.
I understand. Yeah, landlord licenses. Does that all make sense to anybody? Anybody confused about what we're saying here in regards to bingo? One of the things that the advisory board has been trying to figure out is how to make sure bingo is profitable to the nonprofits and also having the public be happy, and the things that we need to do on a proactive level to help increase bingo, which is what all of you are no doubt interested in. And so those are some of the things that we'll talk about and deal with as we go on with bingo and on with the advisory board, so to speak. Okay, Rudy?
Item in your packet that you just passed out to the board, Colorado Bingo Raffle Advisory Board Handbook. This handbook is sent around to all new members with your initiation packet. Basically, that's the letter we sent out when we asked you your email address, your contact phone numbers, and that kind of information. And this was also sent out to all new members, and we put another copy in your packet.
Yes,
I talk a little bit about orientation.
Okay.
Andrew also told me to mention that board wanted a meeting with our staff after reviewing the handbook. We should set up a special meeting for us.
Thank you. I think if we take a look at just for everyone's benefit, if we can just look at page 4 and 5, I think would give us an overview of what the activities of the Bingo Advisory. You don't have a they don't have a copy of this. Okay, let me let me read these are the objectives of the board. Enhance the means and increase the amount of input from licensees, players, and the charitable gaming industry as a whole to the Secretary of State. Gather charitable gaming information for the legislature and Secretary of State, ensuring that this information is accurate, meaningful, and unbiased. Convey information on charitable gaming laws, rules, and policy from the Bingo Advisory Board, the legislature, and the Secretary of State to the charitable gaming industry as well as to the general public. Present recommendations, advice, and the information on which they are based in a clear, direct, well-organized fashion and format. So that's the overall general objectives of what the Bingo Advisory Board is supposed to do. And then there's some more guidelines, another few pages, saying how to do that, how to run meetings, how to be proactive with what I said in the beginning of the session. Any questions regarding that?
Rudy, just quick question. I've seen this.
Don Casino, sorry.
This has been out since 2003, and it hasn't been updated or changed in any way, shape, or form.
It has been updated as far as the rule. I mean, the rule numbers and probably the fees.
Okay, but the general information is still the same.
The general information is the same. And I just probably mentioned that the statute that we're creating, I report is statute, and that statute can be viewed again. Outlines all of the detailed information and looking probably more
okay.
As to how members are appointed and that type of thing.
Thank you. Yes. Your name, if you're going to talk, though, you have to go to the microphone and give us your name. Because this is all being recorded. And we're live online, as far as I know.
I'm Bunny Nolan, Boys and Girls Club of Weld County. This Bingo Advisory Committee, to me, looks like it's made up of mostly hall managers and not the actual licensees. Is that true?
No, there's a ratio that's specified, and there's another item we need to talk about. There's supposed to be 2 hall managers. There's supposed to be 1 licensee. There's supposed to be 3 charitable organizations plus a fraternal organization and a veterans organization, as well as a person from the general public. That's what makes up the board. And so they're not all here today, and the next item on the agenda covers a couple items. So the vice chairman is a charitable organization. Mr. Pizzuti's from the Elks, which is the fraternal organization. Austin Gomes is a St. Louis school, which is a charitable organization. Don Toussaint's from Labor, I believe, fire department. And we're missing a couple members that haven't been appointed yet. And so generally there's a ratio there's at least 5 charitable organizations that are represented, 2 halls and 1 license. What are you?
It's spelled out right here. If you
you're a supplier.
It's spelled out in the definition of board in the statute. I can read it real
they
quick.
Don't have it. Yeah, go ahead, read it.
I'll read it. Of the nine, there's a nine, it's a nine-member board. Of the nine members, five are members of various types of bingo raffle licensed nonprofit organizations, two are bingo hall landlord licensees, one is a supplier licensee, and one is a registered Colorado elector who does not work for or have a financial interest in any licensee or does not take part or conduct or management of any bingo raffle activity.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And also current licensees, current advisory board members, that's also on the webpage.
Yes.
This category.
Right. Right. Okay. Which brings us, this is a very good segue, into the next item for you, Rudy.
Okay.
Which is, there's vacancies on the board, and we've had the names of these people into the board members are appointed by the legislature. Okay, their resumes and all of those things are turned into and they're appointed either by the president of the Senate or the Speaker of the House. Okay, they have terms, certain number of years, and they're term limited basically, and all of those kinds of things. We've had into the legislature a number of names to fill the vacancies, okay? And we would like, and we talked to the Speaker's office, if I'm not mistaken, and they said the Secretary of State is not wanting to replace those people yet, and so that's why they haven't done it. And so we would like we need those board members, okay, to be proactive with the people. One of the issues we have is the sunset review, which we'll see next, is saying, well, why don't we get rid of the bingo advisory board? Okay? And that's one of the reasons. And so we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to that issue. But we as the board and chairman of the board and all the board members want those things filled. Okay? And those resumes and those applications and everything are ready to go. All they have to do is do it. And so we would like the Secretary of State or the Secretary of State's office to give a push to the legislature to recommend to do that. Even if you don't have us go on, we still have things we have to do until we are done with. And so,
you know, I'm not aware of that. That might take place. I definitely make
I appreciate that, and I'm going to try and set up a meeting also with the Secretary of State personally as well. Aren't I? Friday, okay. So we'll make that mention to him as well. Okay. Thank you.
Courtney Kyle, Executive Director for the Colorado Charitable Bingo Association. I have been in contact with the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House to ask them to get moving on that as well on behalf of the association. So they're not only from our group, but then the Secretary of State's office can do it. Maybe we can get that done.
Thank you, Courtney. Thank you, Rudy. Okay, could we review then, the next item on the agenda is to review the sunset report. We did this last time, but we sent out an email, thank you Shannon again, and we can see we have response, and I don't even know if you knew there was a sunset review or even if you know what that means. Okay. The laws in Colorado are such that every 10 years, is it?
Yep.
The laws have to be reissued for the bingo operation. Okay? The bingo is in the Constitution, so if they don't renew or change the law from the previous law, then it's just a wide open charitable bingo can do whatever they want until they pass new laws. Okay? There was a government agency who reviewed the bingo stuff, and they made four recommendations regarding new laws. And so that's basically what we'll review if we can.
anybody.
You don't, but there's only four items.
Right. Can I just give you those recommendations?
You don't have them on the screen?
Can I ask a quick question while you're passing those out? Are the new quarterly reports on the website now, the correct ones?
I believe
they. Not the fourth quarter.
Of course, if the licensees fill out, I believe they are.
Okay.
Well, I have to check that to verify.
They're there. The third quarter-wise, they're there. Not fourth quarter.
No. He's. We have a new quarterly report that all the groups were required to.
Oh yeah.
Fill out. Fill out.
Where's that gone, Rudy?
Just in front of you. That's just
right. Okay.
Yeah. And I didn't make a copy for it.
Oh, I can do it by memory. There's.
Well, they're listed there.
Okay.
I just wanted to share with everybody that you.
Who are you?
Courtney Kyle, CCPA.
Okay.
Just to let you know that you can go online to the Department of Regulatory Agency, click there and open up, and you can download the report. So it is freely accessible for everybody. So again, it's just go to the Department of Regulatory Agency.
DORA,
and just click there, and you will see Bingo Raffle. And you'll see that report. So, and it is accessible. You have two styles there. You can get the full report, or you can get the executive summary. So it does give you an opportunity.
Right.
So if you go to the DORA website, go to the Office of Policy Research and Regulatory Reform.
Thank you, Rudy. So there's really four items that are discussed. I think I've put that in my email that I sent out to you, right? That DORA has recommended. Of all the law, these are the four items that they put in. One was for landlord licensees do not have to send in their blueprints and all of that stuff again for their facility because they feel that it's governed by city law and all the rest of the codes, and so one, you know, they don't have to redo that. And so that's one of the recommendations. The Secretary of State, according to what we talked about last time, is for that. And as far as I can tell, the board of advisory board is for that. Everybody nod your head if that's what you're for. Okay. The next item is they said you're aware that the nonprofits have been able to do a $1,000 promotion using merchandise this past year. We got the law changed for that, and the halls can go up to $10,000 in merchandise for a promotion. What the recommendation was is that we should be able to also use cash instead of merchandise if we want to. Okay. The Secretary of State's office is not giving me giving us a total answer other than they're not exactly for it, and they're saying that potentially maybe we could put that in rule instead of law about how much the promotion could be and whether we use cash or just merchandise. And so when we get done talking about these, we would like input from the charities to hear what they have to say regarding whether we should be able to give away cash or merchandise. Okay?
Are you for the blueprints?
Yes, he's for that. Yeah. The next item was for a charity to be able to do unlimited number of games. Instead of just 158 games a year, they could do an unlimited number of games. And the Secretary of State's office, when we talked last meeting, was against that. Is that correct? Okay. And then the last item is to delete or get rid of or cancel the Bingo Advisory Board. That is not to have a Bingo Advisory Board. And so the Secretary of State's office is for that. The Bingo Advisory Board, generally speaking, is against that because we feel like we're the people that give input to the Secretary of State for the charities rather than just for enforcement, if you will. And so there's where the tensions are. There'll be hearings on all of these things beginning in January on what the new law is going to potentially be, whether the legislature accepts these or doesn't accept these, or what laws will be changed or not changed. And you're always all invited to come and testify at the hearings for the legislature when they go through this at committee before the vote in the full House and the full Senate.
We will
try to put out emails to you on when the hearings dates will be in case you want to testify. And you'll get me that information, I believe, from the Colorado Charitable Bingo Association. Is that correct? Thank you. For when the legislature is going to have hearings. Those are the four items. And so what we would like then is to have an open discussion about anything, but generally about these items or anything else we've talked about or that you would like to talk about as charities. But before we do that, does anybody from the board have comments?
No, but perhaps the only thing I would say, Mr. Chairman, is possibly the four items is to address them one at a time and have discussion on each item one at a time.
Okay.
Rather than see
and
if
throw it open
has,
all together.
Yeah,
okay.
I would suggest that.
All right. I think that's a good idea. Thank you, Mr. Bizzuti. So the first item we mentioned was the blueprints. Is there any discussion about the blueprints for the landlord licensees? No discussion regarding that issue. The board's in favor of that.
Yes.
We approved that last time.
The next item that I mentioned was the promotions, right? The promotions, we know what the numbers are based on the law now. What the recommendation was is to be able to use cash or merchandise, either one, whichever it is you prefer. Are there any discussions regarding that from a charitable perspective? Okay. There's our favorite. She's
Bunny Nolan, Boys and Girls Club, Greeley, Colorado. Do the hall owners or whoever's doing this $10,000 promotion, do they need to have a printed ticket and go through the Secretary of State's office like's required for a raffle?
No.
And I'm certainly not in favor of it.
Of giving away money?
Yeah.
And what about merchandise?
Merchandise, yeah, that's okay, as long as it's donated.
How do you mean donated?
Well, we go out and we get donations from, like, Big R of Greeley. They donated two bikes to our promotion, and then we gave away tickets.
Yeah. What? Let me, maybe I can help you with this. There's two different promotions. One is what a charitable organization can do, and that's limited to $1,000. And so the question is, can you give away merchandise and or money, would be the question, all right? The hall owner can give away, the law was changed that he could give away up to $10,000 in promotion, okay? So there has been a few hall owners that have given away an automobile, for example, and they don't have it donated, they buy it. Right? They pay $10,000 and own the car, and then they give that away. And so it's different than you're thinking in regards to a raffle. It's in regards to a promotion that the hall would give away, hand out tickets to everybody for a while, and then there'd be one winner eventually or something like that.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
There was a hall owner that gave away approximately $10,000 worth of merchandise and sold tickets. Now, to me, that's a raffle.
You'd have to ask Rudy, but that doesn't sound legal to me.
Didn't sound legal to me either.
Okay.
But that's why the question.
You could ask the enforcement boss.
They pulled a raffle ticket. Everybody bought. Supposedly there was only.
Was there a cost to get into it?
Yeah. They had to buy. They only sold 2,000 raffle tickets, and they had to buy. Do you remember the cost of the? No, for a dollar.
So you had to purchase the ticket.
Yes.
But who was the one giving it away?
Bingo Planet of Greeley.
That's the hall.
Yeah. They gave away the big flat screen TV and a bunch of other stuff.
Gave it away?
Christmas. Yes, it was on Friday night.
I didn't play a flat screen TV.
Well, we got the promotions on our car. Yes, we did. It was December 21st, I believe that was the Friday.
Okay, well, if they're selling raffle tickets, unless they have a raffle license, they can't do that. Okay? They can just...
Was it the group?
If it was the group, they have a bingo raffle license, and so they could have done sold tickets to give away.
But when they give away that amount of merchandise, do they not have to have a printed ticket and go through the Secretary of State?
That law, that
cost.
That law has changed.
It's over $1,000.
If it's over $1,000, they do.
If it's under $1,000, they don't require a ticket.
The law changed so that you don't have to have a special raffle ticket unless it's, as he said, over $1,000. It used to be $250, and then they changed the law to $1,000 last year. That help, Bonnie?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You still have the flyer.
Bonnie? Okay.
You still have the flyer.
I'm not sure.
If you can send it to
me. Thank you. Anyone else have any discussion regarding...
John Smith, Bingo Planet. I just want to go on record. Bingo Planet did not give away any items, period.
So do they think you're cheap, or?
Are you done?
Carolyn Nelson, Northland High School. I just have a clarification question. Is this $10,000 cap, is that a rule or a policy that applies to both us as licensees and the hall owners? It's just for the hall owners.
The cap is $1,000 for the nonprofit and $10,000 for a hall owner.
Okay, but then the procedures for the event are the same for either one of us if the cap is different.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
And one other thing to clarify, you can say merchandise. It's merchandise or services. It can be a service provider as well.
Patrick Ryan will come and clean your house for 3 months. not on stage. On his days off. That's right. That's right. Anyone else have any comments regarding giving away money instead of merchandise?
So, real quick question back to the people that have spoken. Are you for it? Are you for the halls helping the groups?
Sure.
Okay.
As long as it's legal.
Right.
Oh, of course.
Right. Thank you, Bunny. Anyone else have anything to say regarding that? Okay.
Now, may I say something?
Sure, Mr. Pizzuti.
The only question I have on this is, when a hall gives away a large gift such as this, and they have to purchase it, same way as a licensee would have to purchase this, et cetera, is two things are involved. Are the licensees that participate in the giveaway, are they charged anything for that? Or have the expenses, if the rental expenses of the hall gone up in order to take this winning money, the cost for the prizes, out of the rental expense that's gone up? Because either way, when we talk about this, if it's coming from, if the rent has gone up in order to say that the halls do not charge a landlord or a licensee for the item, for the merchandise, that's still the same thing as charging them for it, as far as I'm concerned. And I've heard, and it's hearsay on my part, that some halls that do give away the larger or the prizes have increased their the cost for rental. So I don't know.
I can answer
that's
that.
Real quick.
I can answer that because I did it, okay, as a hall owner. We have two halls. We gave away a car in each hall last week and the week before. the way that works, there's two ways it happens. It depends on the hall owner. Sometimes a hall owner, like Dave, he'll buy the whole thing and doesn't charge his group anything to participate in that. In our case, because we were giving away a $10,000 car at each place, we asked the groups if they would like to participate in that, and based on the law, and if they said they would participate in that, then they were an additional rent was charged to them to
but
help.
It is
Let me finish.
Category on the lease agreement right. That says promotion.
Yeah, and they were charged a higher rent based on what the Secretary of State said we could do in order to help offset that $10,000. They didn't pay for the whole thing. The hall paid, I don't know, $3,000-$4,000, and then the 10 groups all put in whatever the other amount was each to help pay for that. And then we gave the car away. What that did for them, however, was we increased the attendance, especially in December, by an amount that was 3 to 4, maybe 5 times the amount of money they had put in totally. In other words, they made all their money back plus 3 to 5 times that amount based on the number of people that showed up that were going to win the car. Okay? And so that's how that worked. Did that answer your question, Nick?
Yeah. That answered it, yes.
Right.
Isn't
right.
That $1,000?
Right. Yeah, they can't. Again, you guys can't be put in more than $1,000 as part of any promotion. Okay. If that does that make sense? Okay.
And a question on that: with the groups participating in it up to $1,000, would that be a voluntary participation? Not meaning that not all the groups in the hall necessarily have to participate.
That's correct. It had to be voluntary.
It has to be agreed to.
Right. That's correct. We can't just the hall owner can't just say you have to do this. Okay.
John Smith, Bingo Planet. I've got 3 halls, and in answer to your question, Nick, in my 3 halls, we've never raised rent because of promotions. In fact, we've done just the opposite. We've had some groups that have come to us and said that they're struggling financially. They wanted me to reduce the rent. Rather than do that, we've maintained the rent the way it was, but agreed to assign a portion of that rent to promotional costs that I would cover for them. So the rent didn't go up, it stayed as it was, but we contributed money from there for promotions to benefit that group.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Okay. What are we talking about? What were we talking about?
About $10,000.
Oh, the 10.
We're still on the cash item.
We're still on the cash, okay. All right. So there's some halls that give away promotions to help the groups, and they don't raise the, unless it's some big thing, then the groups agree to that. Normally halls are charging enough rent where promotion should be a normal thing that happens for that hall to draw more people in. But the real question is, would it be beneficial for the charities to be able to give away cash instead of just merchandise? That's the question. You don't have to answer it now, but that's the question that people are going to have to testify to when they change the law and all of that kind of stuff. Okay.
It could be an either-or situation.
Yeah, you don't have to give away money ever, but you can always give away merchandise. Everything is up to the individual as far as what they do and how they do it in regard to those things. Somebody else is going to talk from Girls and Boys Club, I think.
Karen Shield, Boys and Girls Club of Well County. Just thinking on the cash side of it, I would have to think long and hard on that because I think it might affect our progressives.
Okay.
But we're talking about a giveaway, not a raffle.
So it doesn't cost them any more money.
It doesn't cost the players any money at all.
It doesn't cost them.
Which is basically,
this is just a giveaway. It's a promotion, yeah. There's Patrick. Oh, he's not talking. Okay.
Position on that, or
huh?
Yeah. Get the board position on that.
So I'd like to have a board position on that, on what they think. And so, Mr. Pizzuti, where would you be?
As far as repealing the statutory restriction on cash promotional prizes, I'm against repealing the statutory regulation.
Okay.
David Essie's?
I'm for it. I think we should give away cash. I think that everything that a hall can do for their nonprofits, they should be doing. And if they're not, they shouldn't be in business.
Don Cazino with Rocky Mountain Bingo Bingo King. I think I would take the position I would support cash. I think for the most part, players like cash.
I do.
Yes. And so Dan Gintzig, chairman, also would be for giving away the cash. Let me make a point. So the board would be in favor of cash, Rudy, as far as the minutes are concerned. One of the points is we hear these big numbers, $1,000, $10,000, but most promotions are $100 here, $100 there, giving away a TV, giving away a VCR, giving away a, not anymore, you know, so we get 10 VCRs or whatever. Nobody wants a VCR, a CD player, different things like that. One of the things that we do for promotions for some groups, or we've done in the past, is we've done a game for promotion we call the Funky Chicken. Anybody ever hear of that game? The Funky Chicken is a game that the hall would promote. So if somebody on a particular game was one number away, they would have to stand up and start clucking and flapping their arms like a chicken. Okay, and then the first person who got bingo would win an extra prize, whether it was $100 worth of gas or a free TV, or in the case we're talking about here, they'd win an extra $100 cash. Okay, so those are the kind of promotions we're thinking about that cash would be very beneficial for, because people like that better than getting another TV or getting a CD player or things like that. That's one example. We also do a game which you're all familiar with, which is Let's Make a Deal, okay, where we give away a donkey, maybe. Well, we give away the last prize is a picture of Corky. Okay.
That's not fun, is it? I just said they got a prize.
The first prize, picking on what box they want, you know, they could get three boxes, Let's Make a Deal, and box number one has a TV, and box number two maybe a free game machine, Game Tech, or Video King machine, or a picture of Corky. You know, and then they get the box, and before they open it, they can trade boxes and stuff. And so we've done those kinds of deals also. Those would be good for cash also, as you all can imagine. You know, those are more of what we're thinking about, because nobody in the hall business is very often going to give away a huge amount like $10,000. That's just, that's like not very often. Right, but giving away $100 or giving away $50 or giving away $200, even giving away $50 for every session in a hall for a month is a lot of money, right? And then you could do your own as well. You're a little slow, so you could do a $50 or $100 on a certain night. So that's really the thinking versus these big numbers we're all talking about, in my thinking. That was Dan Gintzig saying all those things. Now we have John Smith wants to say something.
Is there any reason why this can't be an either-or, that it could be the choice of the winner, that you could have a prize that you're going to give away, but maybe it is a flat-screen TV. But the winner, maybe someone's got more TVs than they need already.
If they allow
us... So the choice could be to them, you can either have the flat-screen TV or equal dollar value.
Right. The answer to that question is that if they allow us to give away money, then it could be either or. The state wouldn't care what we give away, just that we tell people what it is and how they win it.
And the point is that you have to purchase the TV and you have to have the cash on hand as well. So you would be, if they don't pick the TV, you now own the TV.
Well, you don't have to. You can get the TV after they won. If they say they want it, then you just go down and get it.
Yeah.
You don't have to. It's not
that's
a raffle.
That's my point.
I thought that you had to have it purchased.
Not anymore.
You don't have to have be in possession of the prize on a promotion.
Well,
No.
Good idea, too.
That's,
no, it's not set.
It's not set in the rule, no. Okay, thanks, John.
But I also have a question for Nick. You say you're opposed to it, but I didn't hear you say why you're opposed.
Oh, let me tell you why. There's a lot of ways, and I'm talking about charitable organizations. I'm talking about not the halls. I'm talking about the charitable organizations. We, particularly in Loveland, I know, have a very good relationship with the people, the businesses in Loveland. We have no problem, and they donate many prizes to our charitable profit our charity and education program. And those gifts that they donate to us are tax deductible to them, so they get credit for it, etc. And it's very easy. I mean, it doesn't really cost us then to give away a promotional item, and I'd like to. That's one reason why I'd like to see it remain as an item that can be rather than money, because all these nonprofits can really work out some tremendous deals with organizations in their community to donate items.
Would you still be able to do that, though? I mean, under this change, well, you can give away cash or the item?
The thing is, they couldn't donate money because normally, they could, of course, but normally what happens, if they give you a TV set, let's see, we got a flat screen TV set, $1,200, $1,300 retail. Wholesale's for about $765 or something like that. So anyway, that was our, we had to put it down as $1,200 as the retail price for that son of a gun. But then the organization, even though they only paid $765 for it, they were able to deduct it at a higher deduction rate, you know, a higher rate as far as their books are concerned. And that's why we keep working with them, and they keep working with us.
But it's precluded, though, from giving away items, merchandise, rather than cash.
No, then we could come to a limited thing. Here it doesn't cost us, quote, anything to do something like that. If we were to give away cash, it's got to come out of a pocket somewhere. Internally in the organization, basically, is what I'm trying to say. It'll come out of our profits somewhere up and down the line, whether it be, not in our case, we're on rental, but whether we take it out of as a raffle, whether we take it out, you know, out of our raffle money, or we have to figure out a way to, quote, steal it out of the program, so which when I say steal out of the program, by taking it away from our profits. And that's what I look at is a hindrance, because it's taking it out of the profits of our charity and education program when it could be just put right with the, we'd be $1,000 ahead versus the cost of the TV set, so to speak.
Okay.
The Elks is a charity that is comprised, at least in my experience and from my membership with the Elks, is comprised of a lot of business owners, and they have access to a lot of opportunities like that. Other charities aren't as comprised of business owners, and they struggle more for getting merchandise than what the Elks might. And so I can see where it would be beneficial to the Elks to keep it as just merchandise, but other nonprofit organizations could probably benefit more from having the option of either giving cash or merchandise. I think that's all we're asking
about. Yeah. And the other thing I'd like to clear up also is we have a number of charities in here, a number of nonprofit organizations in here. And I don't want you to think this is a... How many of you have ever given away anything as a promotion? I don't mean a raffle now. I mean, how many have ever given away a promotion? And what did you give away?
Televisions, VCRs, coffee pots.
Right, so you've done that stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And so was that beneficial for you as an organization? Yeah. Would cash do the same thing for you or even more? Because you weren't allowed to, of course, but you don't know. So, the point is, one group has said they have done that. Do you play in a hall or do you play?
A hall.
And many people that are in halls expect the halls to be giving this stuff away rather than them. And so there's not that many times that the groups give away anything anyway, generally speaking.
Our stuff is all donated.
Which is what Nick was saying, yeah. That's great.
Turkey, sure.
Turkeys come out
of here. Yeah. Okay. Good. Any other comments regarding that? Okay. We're going to move on to the last item, which is the Bingo Advisory Board.
What about the number of sessions?
Number of sessions.
Oh, did we say any? Oh, I'm sorry. That's my fault. The number of sessions being unlimited versus not. If we could have any input on that. Oh, before you talk, can we get a board's discussion on that?
Sure, I'll start.
Okay. As far as to allow licensees to conduct an unlimited number of occasions, I'm against that.
Okay.
I'd like a rule set by,
right,
by the Secretary of State's office.
Okay. David?
I'm for running as many sessions as a nonprofit needs to run. I know that there aren't many groups out there that can run that many sessions. So if the Secretary of State's office is concerned about the groups that are possibly doing something wrong because of that, they're not going to be hard to find. I mean, there aren't going to be, you're not going to have, you know, out of the 400 licensees or whatever we have, I mean, there's not going to be that many running more than three sessions. I mean, there's just no one has the manpower. So I don't see why we should hinder them.
Don Kazana with Rocky Mountain Bingo. I would be for leaving the statute as it was at 158 at a minimum and having the option to change it by rule to see it increased to somewhat. I think that could be debated. I think it works out, 158 probably works out to three sessions per week. I'd like to see it at least go by rule to at least maybe four. Some compromise. Maybe unlimited is too many, because I would feel for some of the smaller groups might be at a disadvantage. But for those, like David said, that can run it and want to run it, I think it should be a viable option for them, and I'd like to see it set by rule.
I would have the same opinion as Don. I'm against an unlimited number just because the smaller groups could be at risk, I think. I would like to statute to say a minimum of what it is now, 158, I believe it is, and then by rule to increase that to some number that everybody would be comfortable with. I would agree with Don on that regard. If you could put those things in that input for the Secretary of State and for the legislature, we'll do that too as well when we have hearings. Yeah. And so here's some outside, here's the charity's input.
Hi, Karen Shield. Boys and Girls Club, County. I'm very much for this, and the reason is sometimes our hall, for instance, is available on a Saturday that nothing is planned, and we would like nothing more than maybe have three or four sessions back to back for an all day. We'd love to do that, and maybe have some promotions with it, and we think that would really help our organization.
Okay, that sounds good. Where do you play?
Lucky Queen's Bingo Hall in Greeley, Colorado.
Greeley, okay. Anyone else have any comment from a charitable perspective?
Hi, Kathy Cross from North Glen Bingo. We would very much like to see number of sessions increased. I don't think it needs to be unlimited for obvious reasons, but our nonprofit supports music programs, which are being slashed. At our school, they're talking about taking our music instructors down to part-time. Our organization does probably 95% of the funding for the band programs. They cannot continue on without us, so to be able to have access to that kind of income is extremely important to the future of music programs in our school and in many others. As far as a disadvantage to other groups, I don't know of any bingo halls personally. I'm sure they're out there that don't have openings. So, I don't see people competing for those spots. Some organizations are large enough to support that kind of four sessions.
So you're saying you're for that, but you would be potentially in favor of maybe limiting how many there are, more than it is now.
Yes.
Okay.
For us, we would just love to have 4 sessions a week. That would be
okay.
Perfect.
Where do you play?
At Turn Bingo.
Oh no.
Oh yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Pizzuti.
I'd like to ask Rudy if he could give us... Oh, he'll be right back.
He can't do it now.
I would like to ask Rudy to give us what the Secretary of State's opinion on this, because originally they were against this, and so I'd like to have, if it's possible, to have your opinion.
And I think that was in the national aspect. Because we felt it would minimize. And that's because I believe from comments it wasn't so much having anything to do with groups operating illegally, but the groups that were just small operations and didn't have.
In the minutes, was there anything regarding something by rule of how many we could do?
No. Yeah, I think that was mentioned in the minutes.
Okay.
That would be discussed at meetings. Uh-huh. I think there might be an advantage, like the number of sessions, possibly the cash or non-cash promotions put into rule. That was desirable by the bingo community.
Right.
With the changes.
Right.
To change that, they would have more flexibility rather than having to.
Right. Oh, I know. For everybody's information, for the charities, when he says by rule or by law, usually what happened in the past was things had to be done by law in legislature. Okay. Some of the things we were able to get changed, I think it was last year, whenever we had the new law, some of the things said, okay, these things now can be looked at by rule. Rule meaning the Secretary of State's office would have a rule hearing, and then that rule could be changed without having to go through having the legislature pass a new law to change it. For example, how much money can be given away now per session? They set it at $2,000, but that was because a rule hearing was held. We can still get that changed without changing the law. Stuff, yeah. Go. She wants to go up and do 10,000 games a week, and so I'm teasing her, and that's good. The point is, by rule, then allows the Secretary of State having a rule hearing for all of you, saying this is what we'd like to have. And then the Secretary of State, okay, instead of unlimited, we'll make it 4 games instead of unlimited. You know, 4 games a week or whatever that comes out to be, 210 games a year or something like that. Just to clarify what the difference is between law and rule, okay, for your benefit of what we're talking about.
Rudy, I'm confused.
John Smith,
Bingo Planet. I'm confused how small nonprofits would be damaged by having more sessions. Clarify that?
They just don't have
law. Okay, so how does that damage? But if there's a hall that has openings, and the small nonprofit has their sessions, another group takes another time that's open in that hall, how is that small group damaged by that?
That's what we get. That's what we hear.
I can answer that.
It wouldn't be
No. One of the ways, John, and this is just intimidation, a hall owner could say, or that is a group, let's say you can have unlimited games, and so a group says, okay, I want to have 7 games to the hall owner, right, in here, and the hall owner only has space for 6, right, but he has one group that's only doing 1, but because he wants all those 7 instead of, you know, losing that to somebody else, he may ask a group to leave. That's just intimidation that could take place. You wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't do it, and Dave wouldn't do it.
A very unsound business decision by that hall owner. Put all his eggs in that one basket.
I know, but I know a couple of...
Let them be able to dictate to you how you're going to run your business.
I know. I know a couple of guys who would do it, though.
Small nonprofits. So I just want to make sure we think through that. When we say it's of damage to somebody, we'll let it go at that. I think it's wise to say why and how it's going to be damaging to them. So we're all on the same page about it. Because I don't see how it hurts them, frankly.
Hopefully the
rules
will come in and say
it. I just didn't understand how it might be. Okay, thank you.
Any other comments? Yes, here comes North Glen, four times a week. Was that you?
Yes. I'm Carolyn Nelson.
No, that was her.
Oh, yeah.
I see a potential for damage in the reverse to the larger groups. I don't think we should be penalized because we're not, for instance, North Glen Thunder Soccer, who's a much smaller group, because we do have more manpower. And some of these smaller groups, I believe, are voluntary things that children or people belong to, like soccer or club baseball. We represent public school, public education, which every child has to go to school, and they can choose music or photography or whatever. We're in a different boat than a soccer club that has a small manpower group trying to raise money for something that they volunteer to become a part of. So I feel that I can see where they may have concerns, but I wouldn't want us to be penalized. And not all large groups like us are public education supporters, but I would like that to be taken into consideration. And kind of reemphasize what Kathy said, District 12 is one of the largest districts in the state, and our school district can only provide up to about 5% of the operating cost of one school year for the band department. That doesn't even count orchestra, choir, and drama. At this point, all of our teachers are in danger of going to part-time. Parents of all of the performing arts departments, again, in a public school setting, are crucial to keeping the music programs alive. And when we're talking District 12, much less some of the smaller districts and what they're going through. So all the help that we can get for our purposes would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Carter to testify at the hearing.
Yeah, we will.
Karen Shield, Weld County Boys and Girls Club. One of my employees also works for the Moose Bingo up in Greeley. And Chris works the pickle desk. There is a caller. There is one person that lets people in and one person that works the floor. Now, those same four people have been working out longer than I can remember. Boys and Girls Club, we have Bunny Nolan and her husband, myself and my husband, Bunny's two sons, and two other people. And we have been running it for our second year now. So I don't want to hear small groups can't participate or get burned out. It's just their determination.
Okay. Thank you.
Tenacity.
All right. Perseverance, right?
Mr. Chairman, may I just say one more thing?
Sure, Mr. Pizzuti.
I think what the problem is with this particular item is it says unlimited. And I think that's where we really want to go. I'm against unlimited. I'm perfectly willing to have the Secretary of State's office, by rule, state how many we can or cannot have, and it will be changed on an annual basis, of course, or semi-annual, whatever it may be, as the public will allow, or the whatever demand. But I think what the big thing is, unlimited, and that's where I'm against unlimited.
Thank you, Nick. One other question. When we, by rule, Rudy, is it possible, for example, because I hear what they're saying, you know, if they want to do more games and by rule that we change it to, let's say, to four, is it possible for them to come to the Secretary of State's office if we put it in the rule and say, can I get an exemption because we want to do this and this and this?
You mean right now?
No.
Well, sure. I mean, that could be drafted in the rule.
That could be done. So, in other words, we could limit it to, say, four, generally. But if there was somebody who wanted to do marathon bingo on a Saturday, they could come in and get permission to do that if we wrote in the rule correctly.
And the statute, though.
And no, it doesn't have, if it's all done by rule, we don't have to put it in the statute. If we put in statute at a minimum number and then change by rule by how many? That's correct.
Which is not in the statute currently.
There wouldn't be a number.
We have to put it
right. The statute would have to change.
Right, that's what I'm saying. The statute would have to change to allow that phrase.
We would say a minimum number by statute and then the and an increase by rule.
The best thing would
just by rule?
All right. Would say that number can be set by rule.
All right.
Well, I think
would that solve your problems also?
I think you'd want to still put in the statute set by rule, but to be no less than 158, you would never want a rule hearing to come up to try to limit it to less than 158.
We don't want
to
make it less.
We don't want to go backwards.
Right. Anyway, that's for hearings. Okay. Any others then in that regard? So that was good discussion. We really appreciate that. Thank you for your input. And so maybe I'll change my vote. No, I'm for what they're for, actually. So the last thing would be the Bingo Advisory Board. And the recommendation was to do away with the Bingo Advisory Board. And the Secretary of State is for that. And we, as the Bingo Advisory Board, are against that for various reasons. One is what it says in here is that we want to be a voice to the Secretary of State for the charities, for the empowerment and the moving on in a profitable way of bingo and increasing bingo's the bingo experience in the general community. The Secretary of State is set up to be an enforcement unit, which is very important, and a licensing unit, which is very important, but they're not in the business to promote bingo. You know, they're not in that business, and I think the advisory board's input from you to the Secretary of State and vice versa is a necessity, and so that's one of the reasons that we would want to continue with the advisory board. Any other discussions from the board members regarding that? Mr. Pizzuti.
Again, Nick Pizzuti. I'm against this particular one, and the elimination of the bingo. Elimination of the bingo raffle board. I am in favor of that. Excuse me. I'm in favor of that. One of the reasons I'm in favor of eliminating the board is that, of course, we have a lot of meetings, and of course, we have a good participation this particular meeting. But the secretary or the mayor of Denver has been very, very successful in his task force meeting program. And I can see no reason why the Secretary of State could not also be very successful in task force meetings. Rather than meeting on a continual basis, meet however they, whatever the determination is that has worked that the our mayor has worked out, or the city of Denver's mayor. It seems to me that they're very successful, and that I kind of agree with them, we have outlived our usefulness. Particularly now, if we look at the membership of the Secretary of State's office, those people, they are interested in our welfare, all of us, and what is good for all of us as a whole, I believe. They've done a good job because they're not so much worried about enforcement. It's just to see that we follow the rules and regulations that are here, that for us to follow, and that's one thing I'm glad about. But they also, to me, a good example. How much involvement did this board have in changing the fee structure for this upcoming year? We said fees should be increased, yes, but did we have an involvement to save $20 for the new games manager? Did we say $1,000 for the? Did we say now that if you make $100,000, you pay 3.5%? I think it is, and if you make $200,000 or more, it goes up to 4%, something like that. I can't remember the exact figures, but we had no involvement in that, and technically they're looking at what is beneficial for them in order to carry on the program. They need additional money, and so. But I can also see that internally, those people, and I'm fully acquainted with most of them, that they have the bingo raffle people. the organizations at heart, and because they come out and give us a lot of good information, a lot of good guidance, and I'd like to see it go that route, so to speak, because we're not useful, we're not functional anymore like we were 7 years ago when this thing first started out, because we've outgrown our, I think, it was a program for a short period of time, and I think we've outgrown our usefulness as a program.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
I think that there's a way that we all are trying to do the best for Bingo, and there's got to be a way that we can meet in the middle. And if we're looking at a task force, there is a possibility to go ahead and restructure the board to be able to have it run a little more like a task force. So if we're going to meet every 4 months, we meet every 4 months type of thing, where there is no question that I agree that a monthly meeting, and slowly but surely we've been moving away from it. I mean, we know when there's nothing to talk about. But I think that you know, going ahead and changing what the board does and its communication with the Bingo raffle licensees and so forth are very important. And not saying that you're using our exact $10, $20 type of thing, but letting the Secretary of State's office know in one voice that we do understand that the fees need to be raised, and a majority of the people that within the industry that we're in contact with are for this, I think is useful information for you. So I do, you know, when it does, there have been times where we felt that our voice wasn't being heard. But I don't know that that necessarily means that we've outlived our usefulness.
Don Kazan with Rocky Mountain Bingo. I am definitely in favor of keeping the advisory board. I've been involved in the advisory board as a member for a little over approximately a year, and I've been attended meetings for the past 7 years. Over those 7 years, I've seen a lot of good things come out of the advisory board. A lot of good things have happened to Bingo. I think if we didn't have an advisory board, we wouldn't have, for example, progressive games. I think that's a big thing for everybody, and we wouldn't have it. The advisory board, it starts as a springboard. It formulates. We can formulate subcommittees, and we've done all of that stuff, and I think it's a good thing. The advisory board is mandated by the statute. If we go to a task force, that's not mandated by the statute, and it may work or it may not work.
And then what happens to by rule?
Exactly.
On that point.
And I think because it is mandated by the statute, I think it's a voice. We have now, we haven't probably done a very good job of getting information out to the nonprofits. I like the first big step that was taken by Shannon providing the email addresses, and here it is. We've got some new groups today, and I think we'll have even more. It's this type of discussion that'll promote Bingo. And like Bishop Dan said, the Secretary of State is enforcement, they're licensing. They are not promoting the good of the industry. I'm not saying they're not promoting the good, but that's not their job. It's basically our job to help, and we're here to help as much as we can, and I think we should keep it.
Thank you. So that's where we are in that, Rudy. Do we have any input from the of course we do.
Corky Kyle, the executive director for the Colorado Charitable Bingo Association. We support the continuance of the advisory board. We've been involved for the last 15 years in charitable gaming. And if it hadn't have been for the total rewrite that we did our association back these 10 years ago, I'm not sure that we would be where we are today. It has been our association's goal to be, our whole outlook has been, how do we make bingo new, exciting, how do we reinvent it, how do we ensure that the nonprofits have resources to raise the money. And as was said earlier, the regulatory authority here in the Secretary of State's office is just that. They're supposed to regulate us. They issue licenses, and they look to make sure that everybody is playing nice. But you've got to take control of your own industry. And that's why this association came about. That's why we have been instrumental in successful passage of all the legislation that's allowed us to be more responsive to the needs of our members and to this industry. This industry is going to undergo lots of more challenges, and it's not going to be from the Secretary of State's office. There'll be other regulatory challenges. There'll be other industries that will challenge us. And unless we have this board, unless we can establish that communication between the licensees and this board, this industry is going to, it's going to be a tough road to hoe. But thank goodness we've had the advisory board. Our association supports the advisory board. We will tell the legislature that when this starts to move through the legislative process. So we support the Bingo Advisory Board.
Thank you, Corky.
Karen Shield, Weld County Boys and Girls Club. We support the Bingo Board. If it wasn't for the Bingo Board, I'm sure that nonprofit wouldn't have bingo anymore, and it would be up on the hill, as in Vegas. And it would hurt nonprofit organizations. That is our biggest concern. Give the Hill 24-hour bingo. I mean, give them 24-hour gambling. Give them unlimited stakes. Give them anything you want to give them. But leave bingo to the nonprofit organizations so that we can keep our kids in schools, we can keep our kids off the streets, and everything else the nonprofit organizations do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carolyn Nelson, North Glen High School. I'm not speaking on behalf of the school at this point because this issue hasn't been discussed at our board meetings. As a citizen and as a business owner, which we required licensing for what my husband and I do, we also have organizations that stand between ourselves and the state. They represent us in matters that come up of difficulty as well as new and innovative ideas, and they are our voice when all of us little people, so to speak, can't go to things at the state level. They are also a resource for us, and I see as a business owner a clear, absolute need to have different boards representing our voices in a smaller, cohesive unit. I like the fact that your board is very varied in the different positions that you require. You have representation from all across bingo needs, and I see that as absolutely crucial to have in place between us and the state. I think that lost my train of thought. From my personal experience with this, I would not know as much as I know without Dave. Now, he's our hall owner, and of course it's in his best interest to keep us educated and all that sort of thing as his tenants. But when we have questions as a board, seem to have a certain set of questions that, well, we'll call Rudy. I know that many of our managers have talked to him on occasion with different questions. And then there's different kinds of questions related to what we want to do or how do we do it that we go to Dave to. And I think if you didn't have the board, obviously we could still call our landlord. But with Dave's integral activity with this group, it's just such a wonderful resource for us, and it helps us do what we do better. In terms of the comment that the board has outlived its usefulness, well, things might be running very smoothly now. I'm not sure if maybe 7 years ago they weren't. But I think you don't do away with what is promoting the things going smoothly. Because what if 2 years from now, because you don't have this intense oversee, then you have to create another board because things have not gone well because they're not being looked at as real. So, yes, you may have been much more useful in years past, but now you have a smooth, regular thing going, and I think that that's the time that you don't stop. You stay diligent. So
thank you.
I appreciate what you do, and I'm for keeping the board.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else that would like
John Smith, Bingo Planet. I'm in favor of keeping the advisory board. One of the main reasons for that is because I'm not comfortable with the alternative. The alternative that's been suggested is a task force. Bingo Advisory Board right now provides a public forum for people to bring their concerns and their issues to get them on record and to have them heard. If it's a task force, my understanding of that is that you would call the Secretary of State's office with an issue, expressing an interest of them doing something about it, then they make the decision if that warrants putting a task force together or not. They then make the decision who that task force is comprised of, and I'm uncomfortable with both of those. I'm uncomfortable with them making the decision whether or not they create a task force. I'm uncomfortable with them making the decision who those people are going to be for fear that they may load it to get it to go the way they would like it to be, the way they'd like the outcome to be. But they could say that they took the action. If we have an advisory board such as we have now, anybody, whether it's a citizenry, nonprofits, hall owners, suppliers, whoever it may be, can come to the advisory board meetings and make themselves heard, bring their issues up so people have to listen to them, they have to go on record, and they have to be addressed. I agree with Leigh that just spoke a moment ago. If you've got something that's working, just because it's working smoothly now doesn't mean you dissolve it. And if, on the other hand, it's not working, it's not addressing issues that it should, that's a re-education process. You tell the board, here's what you need to do to be more effective. Here's the things you need to do to be more successful and more applicable to the people you're trying to serve. You don't just cast it aside. I know we've all had and seen situations where we've got children that are troubled and having difficulties. We don't just cast them aside. We work with them to make things better. And the advisory board is a child of the Secretary of State's office that needs to be developed and made stronger and made better.
Thank you, John. Do I have anyone else?
I have one more thing.
Yes, Nick Pizzuti.
Nick Pizzuti. What he said is true to an effect, to a point. It's very true. But I'd want people to remember what we are. We're an advisory board. Many times we have come up with advice. Many times we have come up with ideas and our plans, and we have submitted them to the Secretary of State's office. And many times they have accepted them, and many times they have not accepted them. But we have no control. We can just talk and give them input. We have no control. We had no electronics back in the early days, so to speak. Now we have the web page where information and we can be given to the Secretary of State's personnel, and for them to get information out on the website, et cetera, et cetera. That's what I'm looking at. Do we really need a board? Because the board, we have no control over anything. We are a bunch of monkeys just mouthing away most of the time. Think about this. And I include myself in the monkey population. So we can recommend to the state, but many times the state does not follow what we recommend. And so that's why the advisory board, as it is basically, yes, we can give them some input, but they do make the decision on their own. We cannot hold them responsible for anything. We make a recommendation, they may or may not follow it. The advisory board as an advisory board is basically useless, except to give them some information of how we feel, but it's not necessarily followed.
But do you think that we should cancel out our voice?
The question is, canceling out our voice, would the utilizing this the Secretary of State's office, their website to put information on, would that be canceling out our voice? Would it be to go and have a task force, would that be canceling out our voice? Would a task force have more power than what we have? I don't know. But I know we have very, very limited power. We have no power. We can just recommend. And that's...
So you want
we can't even make decisions for our people out there in the field other than as a games manager, so to speak. People come to me and ask me questions about this rule, that rule, and I said, I cannot make a decision for you. You're going to have to call the Secretary of State's office. And that's, we have nothing. We have nothing but advice.
Thank you, Mr.
Corky Kyle, again with the Colorado Charitable Bingo Association. One of the task force that we have is to review to see if this this advisory board is not at some point going to grow, mature. And there is discussion and research being done by the association to see if we can't become a Class A board. This board would be one that sets all of the guidelines. It would not be the Secretary of State. It may be another department totally. But it would be a board made up of bingo supporters and as defined and broken up as to however people see fit, and then let them be the total regulatory responsibility for the industry. Now, that is just a task force at this particular point, but there are other things in the wind and other things that we, the association, is always looking and trying to be on the cutting edge as to what the members want.
Okay.
That's one of those things. We are not taking a position on that at this particular point. We support the advisory board as it is right now. But again, to share with the people that are here in attendance, there's lots of things going on. So just to keep you informed.
Thank you. That would have to be done by statute if that ever happened. Anyone else have a comment before we finish? Huh?
Any other discussion?
Do we have any other discussions or agenda items that we haven't spoken about? Anything? Anybody have any? Yes, Mr. Patrick Ryan.
I'd just like to make one, perhaps two, informational comments more than when Corky spoke earlier, he talked about the fact that they had pushed the bill through, and kind of gave the impression, especially to people who haven't been integrally involved with this process over the past years, as many of the board members have, and as all of the staff have here in the office, the changes in the law were completely collaborative. Our office worked hand in hand with the organization to come up with the changes in the law. And there are issues that our office deals with enforcement, the general public isn't even aware of. And an example of that would be when you have 158 games allowed a year, and may I ask you, do you guys play 158 a year? Okay. There are very few groups who can put up the manpower to play 158 games a year. And the more you can play is an incentive for those people who are not honest and on the up and up and are not really true charities when you look beyond the veil of their corporate existence, okay? And what we find out is that that's an incentive for them to go out on the street and to put in pseudo-members and even pay people to work their games. So that's something we deal with in enforcement, and that would be an incentive to further go out and do that. That's just one of the issues that we consider when we look at this. And the second thing that I'd like to make a comment about is the fact that fees were raised. The authority to raise the fees ultimately resides with the legislature. But we're ordered by statute and constitutional provisions that we have to try to accomplish capturing enough money to run the program. And, well, I've been here 18 years, and in the past 18 years, when I first got here, there was tons of money being raised by our bingo fees that were going into the general fund to offset everybody's tax burden. But over the years, as this business is eroding, and it's eroding nationally, not just in Colorado, we have seen those fees drop. And if you compare ourselves with other states in the union, you will find that our fees are very, very minimal. We're in the top or the lower percentage of fees that we collect. But what we have found over the past, let's say, 7 or 8 years, is we have been operating in the, actually, I think it goes back a little farther than that, operating in the red. The administrations that ran the office were comfortable with operating in the red to a certain point. But it's gotten so bad that we have been so far in the red because our fees simply don't cover the cost, and that's because of the decline in revenues, that it was our responsibility to bring those fees up to at least cover the cost of the program. And that's the reason that the fees are going up. And you'll find they're still very, very minimal. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Patrick. What I wanted to let me make, I want to make a comment first. Okay, you mind? The comment is, Patrick, is I don't think anybody's complaining about fees. I don't. Nobody in here, I think, was worried about fees. Mr. Bizzuti brought it up. Just he said we didn't set the fees, and that's because by law it's the Secretary of State who sets the fees and has the right to do that, and so that's not an issue. Yeah, you have to balance. Yeah, you have to balance the budget. There's no doubt that you have to pay the bills, and we are all in agreement with that. And that's not an issue. But the other thing I did want to say, of the first thing you said in your first point was, you are in the business of being enforcement and being the things that watch the bad guys. There's no doubt that that's what you do. But you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater either, because there are people who have tendencies to do things illegally. Doesn't mean you penalize all of those who don't. And so I just want to make the comment that you are enforcement, and if there are people who are going they took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to use a better word, but that was a good one. Then that is the Secretary of State's job from an enforcement point of view, and we appreciate the work that you do. But you don't just say, well, we're afraid that something may happen. So you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater is what I'm worried about. What I mean is that you would be against how many games people do, because it's a potential that somebody could cheat. That's what I mean.
My question to you is that, as I pointed out, though, I'm just saying that type of law, when it's changed, there are very positive things that we heard everyone talk about how they can. But it didn't ever enter any of their minds that that's an actual incentive for the person.
I think it did, because I brought that question
up. We all brought that up, yeah.
That it wasn't anything that your office was thinking about. So.
Yeah, we appreciate what you said, Patrick, because that what you're saying is true. It can happen. There's no doubt that people would have a tendency to be able to do that. Yeah, yeah. We're all talking instead of not. Oh, here comes.
Yeah, you have to understand that we are regulation, okay?
Yeah.
And the statutes weren't totally written and totally set and pushed through by the Secretary of State's office. People testify about those statutes. The legislature, elected officials, look at the recommendations and make a decision. Rules, yes, we have rule hearings, but rule hearings are open to everyone, not just the board, to everyone, players, bingo operators. If one of our people wanted to testify, they could. You know, but the office also has a position. We don't set those. The industry has to decide. The bingo community has to decide. We're willing for that to happen. Sure, as enforcement, we look at a different angle on the possibilities if things change, but that's not the major issue. The major issue for bingo is how successful it's going to be, and that should be decided by the bingo community, not by our office necessarily. Yeah. And if something comes out of statute and goes into rule, there's input on that. We don't just decide that. The board just doesn't decide that.
Right.
And Corky mentioned that the CCBA has a task force. I'm sure, is that task force heard? So it's successful. Is it in statute? Okay. Well, all I'm saying is, let's not say the only way people are going to be heard is if there's a board, because the city of Denver was very effective with task forces. It's not in statute. It's not in municipal law. Corky's task force is very successful. It's not in statute. And you have more flexibility with the task force. They don't have to be appointed by the legislature. There's no opposition. And anyone can come to those meetings. Anyone that's sitting here in this room could possibly be part of a discussion group or a task force. You know, it's not just going to be limited to who the licensing authority necessarily thinks should be there speaking, because you need all input. You need input from everyone. The most meetings that we have attended are rules hearings, where everyone can be heard. And I think people in this room have been to some of those. That, in effect, is kind of like a discussion group in a way. Sure, mm-hmm. The Secretary of State has the last word. But that's the whole idea of getting a task force, is to get everybody involved. The CCBA, people in the audience, board members, whoever. And it doesn't have to be set in statute to be effective, as Corky said.
And so?
Well, I just wanted to mention that the office isn't so wanting to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Oh, I see. I was only speaking to the one law regarding how many games.
Okay, but the whole idea, this was not an idea generated by our office. An independent organization,
I know.
DORA,
yeah.
Ran this study under statute. They're mandated by statute and made these recommendations. And my understanding is the office is not opposed to that recommendation. But that does not mean that the licensing authority or the Secretary of State does not want input. We have a charitable solicitation section right now who has a task force that's very effective.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in statute, and they're very effective.
Okay.
So let's not think that the only way for citizens, players, organizations, small groups, little groups can be effective is if there's a board. That's not true. And we, in our office, answers questions daily from board members, from groups, from players, regardless whether they're about enforcement issues or not, about all kinds of issues. So we're open to that, and we always will be. But task forces and discussion groups can be effective.
I appreciate that, Rudy. Thank you. So we can do it all, however. There's no reason we can't do it all, if you ask me. I mean, when I say we, I mean we can have task force, we can have a board, we can have all of those kinds of things. We don't want to limit to what we can do with bingo, I don't think. Any other discussion?
So you only agree with the board being gone. Every other recommendation they have. I mean,
the office.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, I think it was mentioned in the last meeting.
I'm just saying.
Put in the minutes, and I think at that time Andrew mentioned that the Secretary of State's office does hold unlimited number of occasions. Statutory restriction on cash promotions. The Secretary of State's office opposes that. Economics for groups. And don't let, I'm not exactly, I might not be
giving the right words, yeah.
Giving the right position. I think that's an issue the office is going to testify on if they have a chance to go to the legislative committee that will hear this report.
Mm-hmm.
DORA has to go before the legislature and make their report and back up what they wrote.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I think the office will probably go on record saying how they feel.
Right.
But basically, they did oppose those two things as repeal the requirement about landlord blueprint. There's no opposition there. As reward, the office approved that recommendation. That's the basics.
Mm-hmm.
But for specifics about those issues, I would hope that you wait until the office has recommended the legislature testify.
Right. Thank you, Rudy. Appreciate that. I think unless anybody has any other things they would like to ask or say, that we're pretty much getting ready to adjourn. And so I just want to thank you for coming. Our plan will be to fill you in by email again on the next meetings, but also we're going to fill you in on when the hearings will be regarding the issues we've just talked about. There'll be an initial hearing sometime around the 17th of January for the committee that's looking at this, if I'm not mistaken. And then after that, there will be an official hearing that will pass that the law will be written, and they'll have a hearing on it to send to the House and to the Senate. So we'll fill you in on those dates because we will want to have testimony from everybody who is involved and wants to be involved, the Secretary of State's office as well as the charities and hall owners and all the rest. And I do appreciate your coming, and we're going to get you more involved, hopefully, than you have been. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Well, yes. Do we know, are these hearings going to be held in January or not, Corky? Should we have a meeting in February or should we have a meeting in March is my question because of that. I just need some timing on what would be beneficial for everyone. Corky knows these things because he goes to the Capitol every day and checks on these things.
Again, Corky Kyle with the CCDA. I would encourage you to have a meeting in February.
Okay. So the normal time in February, Rudy, is that okay?
February
13th. February 13th, okay. Same time, same place. That's a Wednesday, I'm assuming.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We have a first and a second on a motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, this meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much for coming.
I have a question.
Okay.
Bingo Advisory Committee.